Believe in yourself, believe in your body. Rock, 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 it's the self-esteem party. Yeah. Everyone, welcome to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. I'm your host, Alana Johnston. And with me, as always, in a black t-shirt that had a white string on it but has now been sorted out, is producer slash husband slash roommate, Norm Sousa. Norm, what happened with the white string?
It was the tiniest string.
What happened?
It was, well...
How'd it get there?
What are you talking about?
Norm, you can't go walking around with strings all over your shirt.
It was literally the smallest piece of white string.
But don't you feel so much better now that it's gone?
I feel the exact same way as I did before. I had no idea.
Well, I'm feeling like $1 million because I knew.
Honestly, I missed the string.
Norm, how you feeling other than the string?
No, the string, I have no feelings about it at all.
Okay. How you feeling including the string?
I feel okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel okay.
I was out of town this weekend.
Right.
I was at a wedding in Milwaukee.
You were maybe gone for a total of 50 hours.
And I spent, I'm going to say 20 of them traveling.
Right.
So I think I spent 30 hours in Milwaukee. I'm not even joking.
You went to Milwaukee to a friend's wedding.
Yeah, Matt and Juliana's wedding.
Matt and Juliana's wedding.
Juliana, producer of the Self-Esteem Party live show that we did in 2019. Absolutely fabulous. Her now husband, Matt, great guy.
You were there with Allison Rich.
Oh my God,
you had a romp around town.
We had fucking blast.
Language. Not in front of the string.
Piss. We had a great time. We had so much fun.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of travel disaster. We made it through. And here's the victory of the whole weekend.
You had a bit of a home alone at the airport.
There was a bit of home alone, a bit of a run screaming Kevin. But here's the whole kicker of the weekend. I had fun at the wedding. Never, truly, almost never before have I had fun at a wedding.
Kel fucking surprise, the place you're supposed to have fun?
No, Norm, I usually don't. I leave early. Yeah, I have a lot of judgment.
Right. We did go to a wedding earlier in the month, Emily Goss's wedding, and we did leave pretty early on that one.
We had to leave early. That wasn't our fault, because that one was a bit far away, and there was like a dog issue. So that was not our fault that we had to leave early. That was a beautiful wedding
and
in the
I
middle of a
fun.
Waterfall. Yeah. I had fun, and the food was good. Now, the bottom line is this. I'm back. Who were you without me?
Well, I made pretty good friends and had a friend hang out. It's my boy, the string.
It's just nice to see you branching out, Norm, and finally coming out of your shell.
Yeah, small string and me really had a weekend. No, I didn't do anything. What did I? I was doing a bunch of shit around the house.
But I came back and you were in a pretty good mood.
Right.
It could have gone the other way because you had to take care of the dog and work.
The dog is fine.
Yeah,
And I had to wake up really early. I've been having to wake up at all kinds of hours. So it's not a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
That it's just a matter of like how much stress is just involved over, you know, the course of a few days. But thankfully, things always kind of shake out. Usually the stress part is like you're imagining, you're preparing yourself for the worst case scenario with all of the things that you have to do. But usually it's never that bad. So you're just like, oh, I actually do have the time to do these other things.
Mm-hmm.
That thing I've been thinking about is going to take half a day, only took about 10 minutes, you know?
Yeah, I have my to-do list, which I look at the night before, right? In case I have to like set an alarm to be up or something, even though my new thing's waking up at 5:30 in the morning and starting my day. But I get stressed at night in advance.
That's your new thing?
Yeah, my new thing. I get stressed at night in advance, knowing that the to-do is coming. I read it in the morning and I'm like, how am I going to get all this done? I start arranging. Where can I move things? What other days can I do something? And then guess what? Come noon, I have checked out for the day. I'm done that list, you best believe.
Yeah, most things take a maximum of 30 minutes.
Yeah.
At the very most.
Including removing a string.
Well,
I had to say it twice, Norm.
Yeah, it's 1 second to remove the string, and then 29 minutes, and,
29 minutes and 59 seconds to discuss it.
To say goodbye, yeah.
To say goodbye. Okay, Norm. Because here's the thing. You're into the heat of the job at this point. I think it started off a little stressful because it goes 0 to 100.
Right.
We know this. But this is what happened last year, too. Then things kind of settle down. We get the hang of it. Then it gets stressful again.
Yeah,
because things get higher stakes.
Sure, yeah.
And then it's done. And then guess what? We're going to be cruising, going to Portugal this summer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not even, you know, I was a little stressed out because I didn't feel like any, you know, I hadn't really been posting anything. Any of the stuff that I made at the beginning of the year, I just wasn't very happy with.
Yeah.
And even though
you take that stuff really personally, you really beat yourself up when something doesn't come out the way you want it to.
And they're totally fine.
They're more than fine. Yeah. Other people post
it. Some of them are like, this is great, actually. But yeah, there's something about it. I just don't feel good about it. So I just have been like, I've been laying low a bit.
Exactly. I think you have a very specific brand of comedy. Mm-hmm. I think you're, especially us coming from Canada, I think we're a little weird.
Right.
I think that's kind of a lot of the Canadians I know comedically are very weird in a fun, fantastic, celebratory way.
It's obviously the way we stand. It's the way we stand out here because they're just like, who is this person? You know, yeah. Like, oh, I'm Canadian. And they go, oh, that explains it.
And they have a bit of an eye roll, which Norm just did.
Yeah.
But I will say this. I think you've done a good job powering through because you have to appease a corporation and your own comedic sensibility.
It's a tough.
So when you get down on yourself, it's because you weren't able to squeeze in enough of your comedic sensibility, but you're hired by somebody else to do a job.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do about it.
No, and I think the job, it's not that it's not, you know, it's fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. It's a job.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't feel like I've been exceptional in any way in a bit.
Norm, I think you're exceptional every day.
Wow.
String wise.
I was waiting for you to bring back the string.
Oh my God, you know I'm here for it. Norm, last night I gave you an opportunity to tell me if anything's been bothering you about me in the last 3 months. Would you to speak on the podcast about it?
And I kind of dismiss it because I find it that I'm being accosted.
See, I don't think you're being accosted. I think you don't tell me things and then you accost me 3 months later about it. And it's not fair because it comes out of absolutely nowhere. I was talking about it with Allison.
Right.
And she was like, what's something that annoys you about Norm? Or something like that. Sure. Whatever we were already in the conversation. I was like, well, there is one thing. You got a pretty good grade out of me.
Okay.
But there is one thing. I was like, Norm doesn't like to cause fights or trouble.
Right.
So if I'm doing something to bother him, he'll decide, oh, it's not worth saying something. And then in 3 months, he'll have an epiphany, which you do on the podcast all the time.
Yeah.
In 3 months, he'll have an epiphany. And then it'll all come out about all these things I've done that have bothered you. So
right.
I'm getting ahead of it. I told her, I said, when I go home, I'm going to ask him right away if there's anything that's been bothering him now that he had a break from me for 30 hours.
But this is, you know, is it not like masochistic for me? Is that a word for me to get me to write down a list of things?
Okay, first of all, I gave you an opportunity to say one thing. So I don't, if there's a list, you best be getting it off your chest right now.
Now you're mad.
I'm not mad in the least. I'm concerned, Norm. Here's the thing why I want to get ahead of it. A lot of the annoying things I do are very easy to fix.
Right.
I just need someone to point it out. Like Allison and I were talking about, Allison and I talked the whole trip just so everybody knows. We were gabbing away on our 10-hour flights to and fro. But I was like, sometimes it's a little thing that somebody does, like, for example, you're really loud in the morning. And I can fix this.
You have the AOC, like, spicy meatball meme hands going on right now.
You guys got to see these curled in little fingies.
Terrible.
Okay, you had your chance, Norm. I don't want to hear it.
No, I'll prepare a list.
For next
week?
A
long list of all your flaws, yeah.
I'm going to prepare my list to you. Something, say something, Norm.
I don't want to do
that. It's TSA rules.
What?
See something, say something.
That's the rules of the TSA?
Yeah, if there's somebody who leaves a bag unattended, see something, say something.
Right.
Consider me your bag, and until you talk to me, I am unattended.
Okay, that's strike one
so
for you.
So report back. So now you're mad at me because I said a bag?
Because you leave your bags everywhere.
No, actually, that's true. I have left my bag numerous times on a plane, in security, and at baggage claim.
Right.
Okay, let's get to it, shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
I am very excited about this week's guest.
String?
The string.
Ladies and gentlemen, the little string.
I'm very excited about this week's guest, Christine.
Yeah.
We, one of the new artistic directors, well, she was before and then now is back because UCB Upright Citizens Brigade is reopening this weekend.
Get out of here.
I will not get out of here. It's my podcast. I am very excited. I get to do both nights. I'm doing a bit on the Friday night show at 10 p.m. Mm-hmm. for those in LA, and I'm at Franklin location. And I'm doing a bit on Saturday as well, 10 p.m.
And I'll be directing String's one-man show.
String, gone too soon.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. We'll
String,
and we talk
like
about
it or not.
You guys got to see his hands. Anyways, I'm very excited to do the shows. Her and I will discuss it more in the episode. So everybody, do me a bit of a favor and listen up to this week's guest.
They're already been listening to the podcast.
Listen up starting now to this week's guest.
Wait, don't listen up to the things before.
Listen up starting now to this week's guest, Christine Bulin, who will be right back after this break. It's a self-esteem body. It's a self-esteem body. Christine, welcome finally to the Self-Esteem Party Podcast. Finally, thank God. Already, I can say from the 10 to 15 minutes we've been chatting previous to the record, you're worth the wait. Oh my God. What a blast. We've been having a bit of a catch up. You had lovely things to say about my house, which I really appreciated.
Absolutely adorable.
I really appreciated that because we took a risk on colors and stuff like that. Mia loves you. Look at
sweet dog.
Here she is.
She can just sit in my lap the entire time.
She loves you so much. She really took to you like right. Look at she doesn't always wander back in because she's obsessed with Norm. And here she is going to your bag that I moved. Oh, strategically, your bag I moved.
Get whatever you need. It's mostly just like chapstick and...
Mia, get your chapstick and get away from these glasses.
No, those are cheap glasses.
Welcome
too,
so to Mia's podcast.
Mia, thanks for having me.
Okay, Christine, as I prepped you, we like to start with a self-esteem party check-in. So scale of 1 to 10, in terms of your self-esteem, self-love, what have you, what have I caught you at today?
I am going to say that I'm at like an 8.
Excuse you!
I know, which is actually like, I feel like kind of an asshole saying that because I'm like, isn't it like, shouldn't you, like, I would hear that and I would be like, oh, come on, are you just saying that you're like feeling really good? But I actually, I think I'm feeling good because I know how it feels to feel really, really bad. So it's only in comparison. I mean, I've had so many 2s and 3s and 4s over the past, you know, whatever, 10 years.
Yeah.
That like, I think in general, I'm in a pretty good place. Right,
I think you've
now,
earned it.
Can I just say you've earned it,
Christine? Listen. There's lots to talk about. We haven't talked in so long. Like everybody, we haven't talked in so long. But I'm just gonna say this. It's like you've earned an 8 because it's been even in just the last few years. What a roller coaster.
Oh my God, a bit of a wild ride.
And I have some
for
stuff.
For everyone,
for everyone. And then on a personal note, I relate on some levels with you about some things and stuff like that. You've also had a lot of changes, some negative, some positive.
Fantastic things
have been happening as well, which I'm very excited to talk about. But it's like, yes, can I have a day to myself? Can I just be an 8?
Can I drop my 2 kids off at daycare and be okay with that?
Can I get these kids out of my hair,
can
please?
Can I get this child off my titty for a goddamn second?
Yeah, your kid's like, no.
Well, I'll tell you what. So we started my baby, who's now 4 months old, in daycare full-time last week.
Okay.
And she still hadn't taken a bottle yet, so she was truly like attached to me every 3 hours.
Oh my God.
And it's like 10 minutes away or like 7 minutes from where we live, and so those first couple days I literally had to go there like while I was working and just like feed her, nurse her at the daycare, and then go home like 3 times during
the day. So what is it okay now?
It's
like, what's
okay. So she finally, like, after a couple days, she took the bottle, and now she's like, you know, living her own life. She's an autonomous. She doesn't even need me anymore.
You're already on her own.
She still needs me a little bit, but I'm hoping within a couple months she'll be totally free of needing parental guidance or advice at all.
Good for you. Advice. Good for you. I'm gonna say this for the socializing, because I just went and watched my friend's baby quite simply for someone else to be around the baby. Like, she was like,
she's been very like isolated.
She's just, and it's not, and like, she's seen a couple people, but the, you know, he's still young and not occasionally at a park, but nobody's necessarily holding him because there's older kids, so it's like they're running around with their kids.
Totally.
So it's like he just needed somebody else in his house. And I think when, like, he kind of fell asleep in my arms, it was so cute. And I was only there for 3 hours. I was like, I called her, I was like, let me come, let me help you. And then I think by the time he woke up, he like didn't know that it wasn't her. Like, I think he like thought, I'm telling you, he just,
how old is he?
He's 7 or 8 months. I want to say 8 months.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything.
Yeah, he doesn't know anything. And the dad was in the, they have like a,
studio in the back. The dad was in there to make sure in case something went wrong, but like for the son, in case the son was losing his mind. He came in going, "You guys okay?" And I was like, he honestly could care less about you guys.
He doesn't. And then care
he was all
you.
Fussy when I was leaving, and I was like, wow, this kid didn't waste his time
attaching to me.
I mean, the fact your kid wanted you for 4 days, Christina, that's a blessing. You got to take that as a compliment.
There you go. I feel very like, I think we got through the I feel like I've said this so many times and I know it's not true, but I think we've gotten through the hardest part of like the two kid part right now, which is like that in the infant, the first few months is so hard. And then to also have a toddler is absurd. Like it's just the worst.
I can't.
It is so hard.
As a former nanny where the best part of my day was leaving the kids behind and going back to my house alone. I can't even imagine. You don't get to do that.
I mean, the good thing is like my 2-year-old, she's an absolute nightmare sometimes, but she's also like so fucking cute. Thankfully she's just really, really cute.
Because otherwise,
I mean, she just says some of the funniest, it's such a cliche and it's all true. It's like you hate them so much and you love them so much more. Like they're just,
but they're not, sometimes you stay hating them for a bit of time. Sure. So it's like, if you always love
them underneath the hate, but sometimes you like definitely hate them. Yeah. On the surface.
And it's like, if you have
annoying,
if you have moments of cuteness that you can appreciate through the annoying, you're like, okay, fine. Yeah. But it's like, I know a couple moms where they're like, no, it's just been a nightmare for 3 months straight with no break.
Yeah. And like, it was hard the first time around with her, but now to having two, you're just like, I don't even know. My mother-in-law had 6 kids. So my husband is one of 6. And
is he in the order?
He's 3rd and he's the only boy too. So everyone's he must be the last. They were waiting. And it's like, no, they just kept having babies. Like I don't.
Only
I
boy.
I do not understand how anyone has more than 2 kids. I cannot.
I come from a family of 4. What about you?
2. So okay, I was always it's always 2.
Yeah.
And it's my brother and I. So I was always like, yep, there's one of each. That's how families are, you know? And like now I'm like, oh, I have 2 girls and they're totally different. And I always just assume that the differences between my brother and I are just because like he's a boy and I'm a girl. And I guess it's more complicated than that.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that's not the only
I'm
thing.
I'm a family one. Well, you know, my family, not quite as big as your husband's, but it was 1 boy, 3 girls. Yep. And I'm going to go ahead and sum it up with saying a couple of personalities in the house.
Yep. And you're all very, very different people.
Even though there's some main things in common, like both my sister and I kind of work in comedy, but hers is as a director.
Okay.
And mine is as, you know, performer, writer more so.
Yeah.
But so we had that big thing in common, but we're very opposite. She's a lot quieter than I am. Yeah. I think she's better liked than I am.
I think she's just better all around than I am.
But here's the thing. She came on the podcast and we both were confronting each other for about an hour straight and we called our mom to confront her as well.
No. So. Oh my God. That's the episode I have to listen to.
That's the one I gotta listen to. Go back. It's one of the earlier ones. She suggested, she wanted to come on the Patreon and be like, I want to be the host of the podcast. And I was like, okay, great. The episode was so terrible. We have to stop after 15 minutes. Couldn't release it. It was terrible.
Because you were just in a fight?
No, because she has no business hosting. She's terrible. She's I'm going to say this. Allison, if you're listening, you suck. You were awful.
And I love you.
I love you so much, I guess. But at this point, you've sunk the podcast because you've ruined my podcast.
That's it. It's over.
I can only love you so much.
Yeah.
Much like your kids. You can only love them so much.
You can only love them so much. That's what I say about them every day.
Now, are you missing them in the day? Or is it, are you
I'm going to be perfectly honest and say no.
Good. Yeah. Thank you for being honest.
I don't miss them during the day. No.
Good.
But I will say, like, as soon as I go pick her up and she sees me and she goes, Mommy! I'm like, oh, I fucking love this kid so much.
Perfect.
Like, she's so cool. But yeah, no, I don't miss her. Like, I need my independence. I need my autonomy. Like, I also cannot. God bless every woman or man who decides to be a stay-at-home parent. Like, chooses or doesn't have that choice or whatever. But like, I don't know. I don't know how people do it. I
can't.
It's so hard. It's so hard.
My sister is, or like, I mean, the girls are at school now, so I don't know. But my older sister, stay-at-home mom, is so happy.
Amazing.
And I'm like, she is so patient. And I was like, you are one of the few that can successfully do this. I don't know what's to come now with the kids at school, so I don't know what the game plan is. But like, a saint. She is a saint.
It is harder work than any other work.
She makes it look like nothing.
It's just incredible.
It's amazing.
Like,
amazing.
And it makes me think about like housewives from the 50s and why so many of them were like, you know, on drugs and killing themselves. Okay. Because no, like, true, I really understand that like this was all you were being told you could do. Like, yeah. That's
Christine, if this
for real
podcast is your cry for help, I think you got to talk to somebody else.
This is not the place to do this. I can refer you to.
I don't know if I can help you.
No, I mean, that's why I feel like, you know, God bless people who do it. If you can't do it, get your kids in daycare, which is also like impossibly expensive. But
yes,
however you figure it out to have like some freedom and like time to yourself. And of course, you know, we're both working, okay, so we have to do that.
So I was about to say, this is what I want to know, because you just said something, time to yourself. But
no,
you work an all-consuming job.
I do at the moment.
At the moment, it is all consuming. So it's yes, like, so what I want to know, because this is, yep, a podcast about self-esteem and everything, yep, like that. One, if you're clocking in at an 8, how much of that is career validation? Because on this podcast, because I interview, yeah, a lot of comics, yeah, and stuff like that, for a lot of us, myself included,
yeah,
definitely if you're hitting a low point,
yeah,
it usually has to do with career.
For sure. Oh,
and
sure,
we've been through that how for many sure years? For my sure God.
Yeah.
And then the second thing I want to know, time to yourself, do you have any? And what's the self-care we can squeeze in at that time? That's what I want to know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so question one. So question one is career, how much is of my 8 is career validation?
Yeah.
Well, I have to sort of split that in two, because I have to say that, like, and you know, we're going to get super honest here.
Yeah.
I think I took the pandemic to just truly take the pause. I think a lot of people had to do that whether or not they wanted to. And I was pregnant at the time. I was, you know, 4 months pregnant when pandemic hit. So I knew that that was already going to be a shift.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just like, I just kind of, I mean, everyone stopped for a while and I just allowed it to be the thing that pulled me out for a while.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I just sort of left the whole thing, left auditioning, left, you know, I mean, we all did to some extent.
Yeah.
And then because I had the baby and then, you know, like, yeah, just a lot of shit went down during pandemic. And then I sort of pulled myself out and like, I have never been happier.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a wild thing to say, because if someone had told me 5 years ago when I was in the deepest part of the grind, like auditioning all the time, like desperate to, you know, getting close to things, you know, testing for things, whatever it was, like really in the mix and feeling like I was super close to something really happening. If someone had told me then what I'm saying now, I would be like, that's devastating. I'm like happy to not be doing it. That's the most devastating thing I could hear. It's like that version of me.
You'd be like, who am I?
Who am I? I don't identify with that person. Totally. I can't identify with someone who could be happy, not like dying on this hamster wheel, basically. Yeah. And I think, yeah, who knows? Maybe it was, everything shifted so much in one moment with having a kid and like losing a parent and then being in the mix of like, you know, the whole world stopping. I just like, I think just took a breath from all of it and realized that like, there are parts of it that I love. I absolutely love performing. I love collaborating. I love being in a room with funny people. All of those things are like non-negotiables and I will find a way to do them no matter what. Mm-hmm. But the desperation that I felt and like the close calls. I mean, like it takes so much to like stay in the mix of it and not go crazy. Like I can go back to like a notes app from my phone and look at like things that I just would have, like I did it the other day that I found one because I was looking for something else. And I read this like virtual, like basically a little journal entry that just said like, it's amazing how much people can hope, and it's amazing how desperate it can feel when you lose that hope. Like I remember feeling this like while I was driving one day coming home from an audition and knew that like, or found out whatever, like I'd gotten close to something, didn't get it. And I was just like, the hope is going, I could feel it like going away. And I was like, this is scary. It's like really scary to be in that place. And so like, I feel like I can say the 8 now because I really know what it's like, obviously, to feel a 1 or a 0, you know? Yeah. And I think like having kind of taken myself sort of out of the game for a little while has been like the healthiest thing I could possibly do.
Okay. So, and just to keep talking about this for 2 seconds, I'm pointing to this thing here on my wall because this is my tribute to my niece that passed away. So it's got, you can see the little picture of her there. That's drawing she had. That's her. And then that was French Fry Club. And we bought these little French fries on her birthday and I kept this. So this is, so I, what I want to know, the pause, she passed in December I took a pause. I was still doing
this
some,
past December.
Yes, but I took a pause and really needed that. I'm going to say reset too. And I just because you said like losing a parent, so somebody very close to you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And an unexpected. Yeah. Whatever, I mean, wow, you like just you're like hit in the face with it, like truly, you know what I mean? I'm sure a lot of people, sadly experienced that at this time as well.
Yeah,
so I took a pause as well. And although things it's so sad and I still think about it, it still feels so recent. I can honestly say it really helped me with my career in the sense that I go, oh, that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
A child died, a parent died. You're like, oh, this means nothing. Yeah. I feel like a free bird. Yeah. Like, and, you know and, what I and mean? Honestly, perspective.
Like, and having a child too. Like all these things where you just realize like, oh my God, the world is so much bigger than my crazy little brain of like, what's my next audition? Or are they going to see
God,
me for this?
I know.
Or my social media. Like I am terrible at social media. I absolutely hate it. There was a time where I was like, I need to start putting my characters online, and like, and it made me feel so icky. I don't know why, because I'm just not like built for that, I guess.
I fell into it for a week and stopped.
I admire people so much who can do it. I love it. I'm like so proud of people who can do it, and that's part of their DNA. It's not, and it was, and it felt so, it just felt so fake, and I was like, I can't. And so I like pulled just out of all of that stuff, and now I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't matter for my life. Like,
oh my God.
And there's a version of like, maybe if I had been better at that, then I would have been booked on blah 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 blah, fill in the blank. And like, now I'm not, but like I don't think that could have happened, because I was being false for a long time. I was like really fighting to be in it in the way that I thought I was supposed to be in it, and running on that wheel and feeling like desperate to, and you feel that when you walk into an audition room and you're like, God, I really want this one. I really need this one. Like, it's so palpable.
If and when and you walk into an audition room, my God.
No, but, and the ones that I like in my life, the ones that I was like, you know, just like late to and got, you know, or whatever, like wasn't frazzled. Like I was just like, here I am. I know I'm not going to get this. Or the ones that I always like came closest to, or the ones because that like, I booked. Because like you just have an energy of like, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is where I am today. You know?
I'm totally with you on that. And I just feel like you are such a good example of taking that time to reset, shut down, step back, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And then now look, you've come back in the best way possible. You're like, okay, cool. So we're picking up where we left off. Turns out I took a break and it literally didn't matter at all. And we're back and here we go. And not like you're back with a new perspective. Yeah. You're not back to where you were. You're back as like new Christine, which goes against the show old Christine.
That's true. I'm not old Christine.
You're not old Christine.
I'm
you are new Christine.
I mean, you're talking about like UCB.
I'm talking about UCB of like, and I, because I'm not, I don't know what other stuff is going on. We haven't had a chance to really get into that.
Yeah.
Too busy talking about the turf. But but really definitely UCB is like a big one where it's like, really cool, but again, came back in a different way, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Very cool. I'm on the receiving end of the emails and everything's seeming on the up and up as
God,
of now.
I appreciate
we're
that,
excited.
I cannot tell you how terrifying it is to click send on a 1,200 person
You know what?
Email.
We all text each other about it and we're like, oh, did you get the email? What are you thinking? And everyone's like, yeah, I think I'm going to do it. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do it too.
Oh, I know this is happening. Like, and I'm like, you just click send and you're like, oh, there it goes.
But it's working. You're getting positive
I will tell you, the
feedback.
First one that I sent out after 2 years or whatever was when I was first like saying, hey, we're hiring these other ADs to like join me sort of in this artistic committee. And it was like terrifying to send that first email because it was the first time I was like doing this and kind of reinserting myself in this role out of nowhere. And I will tell you something. The first email I got back, which was within probably like 10 minutes, was from Andy Daly. And he said, I just want to say, like, I know it must be really scary to jump into these inboxes again, but I think you're doing a really good job. I think you've nailed it. And I was like,
I love Andy.
He's
the
nicest person in the world. There are
that
so many
would
nice
have
people
just boosted
in this
me
community,
up.
Like, honestly. And then you'll get a handful of shitheads, and you're like, oh, okay. You just let that go.
You let it
like,
go.
So
I freaked out.
People.
I was so excited when I got the email.
And I think that
couldn't
was
have
the,
been happier
overall. And that's all to say, like, this does not, like, there are so many things that were wrong about UCB, and I came into the role of AD like 5 months before shutdown, so I really didn't have much time. It was enough time to like kind of understand what was going on, but not enough time, I think, to like fuck up anything major. Mm-hmm, so yeah. I didn't have too many enemies. I'm sure I have some enemies, but like not a bunch, which is just fortunate for my timing, I guess.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, that the job that I was hired to do then versus the job I am now doing is completely different. And I just feel like very lucky that I got that job so that I can now have this job, which is a totally different job.
What a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
Because it, you know, again, that first email that we all got, it was certainly not picking up where we left off. So you might have picked up on like part of the title, but it's come back in a completely different way. Yeah. And I think, again, like you said, there'll be some haters. What can we do?
Yeah.
But for the rest of us, couldn't be happier. Everyone's like, oh, I think it actually might be different this time. Like, everyone kind of believes you guys.
I hope they kind of believe us. I will say that, like, I know that we will make mistakes, but, like,
but that's every theater. We are absolutely
going to do everything we can to make this better. And in the ways that we fail, we will acknowledge it and, like, pivot as soon as we can, you know? And that's where I feel like these three other people that I'm working with are incredible. Like, it's just a really cool foursome, and like some of the conversations we've had are some of like the most challenging and also like the most rewarding conversations I've ever had in my life. And there are times when we're on Zoom where I'm like, no one else, like, I know this is not true, but it feels like at the time, like, no one else is like doing this, what we're doing right now, which is like addressing some really intense shit and figuring out how the four of us can put our heads together and put our life experience together to make sure that things are better going forward than they were, like to correct a lot of the things that were wrong about that place. You know? I mean,
what a fulfilling job too. That's like still in comedy.
It is.
Cause that is, I love comedy. I love what I do. But it's not like the people need it.
No.
It's like, it's great to have comic relief.
They do. Sure. You can I don't always have a message. Say, like, this is so valuable. And it's not even twisting. It is. It is so valuable. But
you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Especially me. I don't really stand for much in my comedy. Yeah, I just like to be weird. Dumb. I'm just dumb. I'm really dumb and weird. I love it. I don't care. I support other people with a message. Yes. You know what I mean? Of course. Yes. But I'm like, that's your journey.
I just do dumb characters and silly voices.
So like, basically what I'm saying, does the world need Alana and Christine?
I think so they do. No, it is. It is very weird. It's a very weird particular space to be in where I feel like I'm utilizing like my life experience and a lot of things that I felt could never have been pointed in any other direction than trying to get in front of a camera or to be cast and stuff. And now it's like, well, I get to use a lot of experience and be in this role where I feel like I actually can like do something cool and make a difference and like kind of shift how this theater runs. And hopefully because of that, like, you know, let that ripple through. I mean, UCB is like arguably like the biggest feeder into the comedy world, you know? And like, if we can make some changes here, then that like will ultimately be reflected like in what people consume in the world, you know?
It sounds like people are going to be given more of a chance.
For sure.
And that, you know, I'm glad you're bringing in and have that knowledge with the auditioning and this and that. And like you said, came close to it, a couple things, not quite, because you're like, I just need one person to take a fucking chance on me.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've got it. I'll prove it in 2 seconds. You'll see. But it's like, I feel like now just based on the emails you guys have sent, already you guys are giving off that vibe where you're like, hey, listen, we're all going to get to play. We'll figure out a way that everybody gets to. We'll find a way to bring people in that seems fair. But, but you know, also still celebrating people's capabilities. Yes. It's not like you're going to let anybody
put funny
like
people
we have to
stage.
Put funny people on stage.
Yeah.
You have like, to still have that reputation of the best of the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, we find better ways to give equal opportunity in the training of that and shows that people can experiment and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see what comes. Aww. And I'm so glad that Franklin is sticking around. A theater. Everybody's favorite. Hello. And listen, I did a ton of shows at Sunset. We love the ramp.
Yeah,
we love the hooks.
Yeah.
The green room. We love the space.
Hang up your robe.
You could hang it up.
You
your wigs. It was great.
But well, yeah, yeah.
But
I mean,
Franklin's is a sexy, cool space where you're like, this is raw.
And they've finally have renovated at least the tech booth, so it is a nice, spacious, so that you don't feel like if you're going up there to hand someone your script that you're going to die climbing up the stairs.
Kind of.
That's not gonna happen anymore. There's like an actual, you know, like
it's too bad.
Stairway.
I had a real lawsuit cooking up against you guys.
Something fresh.
You guys don't even want to know what was coming. coming your way.
Yeah. No, I feel, yeah, I just feel very fortunate and I feel very optimistic with the team, and that goes with the new owners as well. Like I went into this being apprehensive enough to say, like, if I can smell anything that feels wrong, I'm going to bow out. Like, I'm not going to stay in this if I have any inclination that these people are in it for the wrong reason, or they're, you know, yeah, that there's something fishy going on or whatever. And I just have not gotten that at all. And I just continue to move forward being like, I really think that these are the right people to do this. Yeah. And I think that we all want a lot of the things, same things. And the way that they talk about it is they really want to like empower performers in a way and give them access to things that, that when I was coming up at UCB, we never had. Like for me, it was like, okay, get on a team so that you can get represented, so you can showcase, so you can get on SNL. That was it. That was the only path. That was the only thing, especially as a sketch or character performer. Cause I like, I've done some improv, but I never did the Herald track. I never like really, you know? And so for me, it was like, I have to do characters and I have to, and amazingly, like it almost worked that way for me. So that's why I like felt like that is the only way it works. Like I put up a show. This was like, you know, in UCB.
The other Beulah Girls?
No, it was like the first one I did was in
New York
in 2015. Yeah. I put up a show, got it picked up, was doing that for like a year, got on a mod team. And then I showcased and I was like on hold for SNL within a year. Like it was like, I was in Lorne Michaels' office with him and I was like, yeah, I got, you know, I started this a year ago. Like it was, and so I was like, well, this is how it happens. Like I did it. And I was like patting myself on the back and I was like, well, it's okay if I don't get SNL this year or whatever. And then you get so close to something so huge, so fast that you just assume like, oh, if that doesn't happen, your life is over.
Oh my God. 100%.
And that's what it was. It was like my life for like a couple years. I was like, you know, I was still auditioning and like in the mix, but I was like, oh, like, But that's the thing, right? Oh, and if they're not going to take me, then, like, I have no prospects.
After I tested for SNL, I was like, well, you blew it. And, like, first of all, I didn't know you should keep trying.
Yeah.
I was like, that was it. That's the opportunity, and you're done. Yeah. And then I was like, I over. Only had one skill.
Yeah, that was
I was
it.
Like, that was my only skill. Yeah. So I'm like, I felt like I couldn't even learn how to audition properly and be myself and
totally,
be normal.
Because you had your characters and you were behind your characters.
That's why the self-esteem party freed me because it was finally me being me.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I didn't realize you could do that. You know Ben Axelrod?
No, I don't know him personally. But
okay,
I know him.
Yeah, and he does the pilot class. Yeah, it's amazing. If you ever need a writing class and want to write a pilot, might I recommend?
Amazing.
It just keeps you on track and holds you accountable, right? Yeah. And like, I've written them, and I know you've written a lot, but just you kind of need a teacher to slap
for
your
sure,
wrist.
For sure.
You're like, oh wow, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyways, he had once said to me when we were working on a script together. He had once said, "You know, Alana, one day you're going to want to hang up your wigs." And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, you'll see. One day you'll be a little tired of being somebody else and you're going to want to just be you. Yeah. And he was right. And I still love the chance to do characters, of course.
I know, but for the greater good,
he was like almost telling me, don't be afraid to be you.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I experienced that probably for the first time over pandemic when like after the first year, I guess it was, when did I do this? I think I hadn't really been like writing or like doing my own creative stuff for a couple years probably because I had sort of been in that mix of like really trying so hard to like, and then was in like a really depressed place for a while of just like, I don't know if I have any future in this business and anywhere else. Like I was like, can I go work for Trader Joe's? Like it wouldn't be the worst thing. And like, I literally was like, what do I do with myself? Like I was just like, I don't know. I need purpose. And then like, you know, I got the job at UCB, which was very cool. And I started like, my mind just sort of started to shift. And then of course the pandemic. And then it was, I think it was in 2021. So like January 1st, 2021, I was like, all right, this year, my New Year's resolution is to write for 30 minutes a day, which is nothing. Like people who are writing way more than 30 minutes a day.
Don't I know it? And but, not because I'm one of them.
But consistently, I was like, I have to do this. And I just like started writing. I would get up at like 5 before my daughter got up and I would just like basically journal. And from all of that, like I made this show and it ended up turning into this show about my dad and like loosely about like, you know, the fact that he died of COVID, but like not at all about that. It was really just a story about his life and my relationship with him.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, this is to me, it was like, it feels like it's a it feels like it's like a series of little vignettes or like short stories or what, like that's just because it was all a whole different kinds of, you know, forms like poems and journals and all that kind of stuff. And then at one point I just like read it out loud after a couple months and I was like, you know what, this, like, I do want to do this out loud once. Like this feels like I want to at least share this in a room with other people at some point. And so I ended up putting up this show at Dynasty like a couple times, and it was by far the most fulfilling thing I've ever done creatively.
But
like,
of course. No question.
And it was the scariest thing I've ever done too, because I had to stand there by myself. I had to stand up on stage and be like, hello, this is me. I am going to not hide behind a wig and a character. I'm not going to have a costume change. Like, I'm going to stand here and like essentially tell you this story that I hope is very funny. And I think it was very, and is funny. And also like, you know, pretty devastating in a lot of ways. And I was just like, all right, here it is. Like, it was the coolest thing I've ever done, because I finally like just allowed myself to be honest and like be vulnerable. And I don't always want to do that kind of stuff.
No,
but it was very, takes a very lot. Fulfilling to do it, you know?
But that, I just think that's so beautiful, because I talk about it on this podcast about like some of the family stuff or whatever, but I'm too scared to turn it into something, because it feels a little close right now.
For sure.
I admire you for being able to do that now. Oh my god, this transit, watch this transition.
Here we go.
Because question two, self-care, how much did that help you?
So much. I mean, it really did. Like, I felt after a couple of years of not feeling like I could be creative that I could, and that I like really should find and occupy like time and space on stage when it's the right time, you know, like when it feels right. And like, it was terrifying to like invite people to a show about my fucking dad dying. Like, I was like, well, we'll see what this, but like I think it was really fun. It was really funny. And like the feedback I got was like probably the most like heartwarming and like one, like just wonderful feedback that I got about it, because it was like very, it was a vulnerable thing. And I think I think it meant a lot to a lot of people, which was very cool.
Did anybody reach out being like, oh, I lost
somebody?
For sure.
Yeah, and when I pitched it to Dynasty, which by the way, like they're the absolute best. Like
I know.
Vanessa and Jamie are the absolute
best. We did our Johnson, Mo Welch and I did our show there that we had been touring, and they were so cool. Oh, they just like, they made the whole night.
They're the greatest. And I love that theater so fucking much. I remember when I was submitting the show to them, it, like one of the questions was, why do you want to do this show? And I just had to think about it. I was like, why do I want to do this show? And I was like, you know, I want to do this show because I think right now this is the show that would mean the most to me. Like if I watched it, this is a show that would mean a lot to me, because it's just an honest like portrayal of like a relationship with someone who's very difficult, like a challenging parent, and like the loss of that person and what that means. And like, I think for me, my dad and my whole life was always like a real, he was the funniest person in the world. He was so fucking funny. And he was like a really troubled, you know, person. He had a really hard, hard life. And so losing him was like, there was just this hole. There was this big hole, because it felt like he didn't get to live up to his potential. And I felt like almost responsible in that. Like, I wish I could have, how could I have helped him better? Like, in what way could I have, you know? And like, of course I know that's, I can't. Like,
oh my God, of course. Of course. Oh my God. Yeah.
But that was, and that was like the end of the show, which was just like, I remember like driving home after we like did our sort of ceremony for him up in the mountains, and I was driving down and I just like, I looked back and I was just like, I still feel this hole. And my husband was driving and he just looked at me and he's like, you know what? Sometimes there are just holes.
Don't I know it?
And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's okay. It's a hole. And like, I don't need to fill it. And it's okay for me to have wanted more in that relationship. You know,
I wanted more time with Zoe. I wanted more.
Oh, it's okay.
It is like the way my therapist has explained it to me, and in all the grief counseling that I've been through and everything. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I wonder for you as well. Is there like, it's not necessarily moving on. It's just quite simply, are you continuing living your life? And I'm like, yeah, you're right, because she's always going to be with me, and it doesn't have to stop being sad. Like, that was another thing my therapist said. She was like, it's always going to be sad, Alana.
Always. Forever.
It's so sad. You don't get over it. It's not about getting over it. But you just
it's acknowledging that
just wake up, get out of bed, and keep going. And you can continue to exist. And good things can happen too. And apparently you don't have to be like shattered by that and feel bad when something good happens after somebody's passed away, apparently.
Yeah.
But boy, did that take a while to learn.
I know. And I was just reading a script that one of my friends wrote, and it's loosely about
veterans, and he was interviewing these veterans for the script, and one of them said this thing that was so powerful. It was like, one day, like, you know, this is 10 or 20 years after, like, you know, no longer fighting in combat, and the person said, and then one day I made a cup of coffee and the war ended. And I was like, oh yeah, that's how it happens. You're just like making coffee one day and you're like, oh yeah, I don't have to feel the same thing about yeah. that. Like, it doesn't have to be like all consuming anymore. It can still be a part of my life yeah. and I can still make my coffee today, you know?
And you can, and it's also like something I had to give myself permission to do, or rather not do, was to be able to not cry about it mm-hmm. for a day.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, do you know so what amazing. I mean? And you're like,
you feel like you're obligated. Like, what oh my a God, tragic exactly. fucking thing. You lost a child in your life. I can't even comprehend the pain of that. Like, I can't even, and you'd almost feel like burdened by feeling like you have to cry about it every day. Otherwise, exactly. you're not feeling it the right way.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, and sometimes yeah. I would like forget, like I didn't, not forget her, but like, forget that I didn't get upset about it that day. Ugh. And the next day I'd be like, oh my God, I didn't think about it, or like, I'm a
bad person.
And then am I a bad person?
Because forgetting that's not traumatizing me in this moment the same way it was yesterday. Exactly. This time.
But then when you can just be like, ugh. It's okay not to cry. It gives you a headache. Sometimes you have things to do. You have to continue yeah. with your day. And I was like, oh yeah. Like, no one would feel good knowing you're crying about them every day. Yeah, nobody would feel good about
and
that.
And the fact you even do that in your brain of like, what would people think if they knew I didn't cry? It's yeah. like, who are you thinking about?
Like, I am so glad to be able to chat okay. about this with you. I hate it, but I'm so glad to have somebody else, like, other than with my family or whatever, because, you know, that's everybody has to process it in their way sure. and everything sure. like that. But it's like, it's just so nice to take comfort in being like, oh, I don't think you're yeah. a bad person. Yeah. If you tell me this, I'm not going to yeah. be like, Christine's terrible. So okay, maybe then I'm not a bad person. I'm sure yeah. she doesn't think I'm a bad person then, if I don't think she's a bad person.
There is no version of honest grief that's wrong. Like, you could grieve someone and never cry. And
you don't know wrong until you like, know. Like, you don't.
Yeah. It's so funny because the fact that you even think that there's a way you're supposed to do it is insane, because there's no right. Like, every relationship is different. Every person yeah. is different. And so, like, how you process the loss of someone is 100% personal and 100% right, however you do it.
My friend's godfather died recently. No, godmother died recently, and her godfather has decided to just stop enjoying life as the way to mourn her. Just to stop enjoying life and continuing on with it, but not enjoying it in yeah. any way. So, and you're like, you know, what am I going to do? Yeah. Like, you want to tell him, hey, man, you gotta keep going. But at the yeah. same time, you're like, yeah, it's his choice. It's like, yeah. if he wants to torture himself.
Yeah, and even then, like, I have an understanding of grief from a very particular point of view, which is obviously we've all lost people we love. I lost a parent recently, and like the way, you know, like him having, you know, died of COVID 2 weeks into COVID was just absurd. It was just ridiculous. He was like the 2000th person to die from it.
So you're
just
like, you never even think.
And when I like told people, like, I think for most people it was like the first actual person that they knew of, because 2,000 people in the country is not very many. So it was just kind of like, it was pretty quick to be like, oh shit, that's actually happening now. Like, people are actually dying from this.
Yeah.
So it's like a very weird circumstance, but like, that's still a very particular, like, losing a parent, you know, hopefully we all do it. Hopefully we lose our parents before they lose us.
Yes.
But like, that's still a particular kind of grief. And just like, you talk about this person who, you know, like, if you lose a spouse or a child or like any relation, like, I can't even fathom that. I can't even fathom what that would feel like.
Oh my God.
I won't even attempt to.
That's why I'm not going
to
judge anybody for it. You know what I mean? And all my family members and I, we're all handling it very differently because we're all in very different circumstances. You know, yeah. my sister has kids. My older sister, she's got to look after them. My little sister
and she's
works
the one
a lot.
Lost.
No, it was my brother.
It was your brother.
It was and then she was an only child. So they're dealing with it very differently. Obviously, my mom has like her own way of coping that, or rather not coping. I don't know what's going on over there. Mm. You know, like, that's another thing too, is that you're like, some people want to talk, some people don't. Like,
yeah,
you'll notice with the podcast, I'm like, you know, if you wanted to talk about it, great. If you didn't, I'm not going to sit here and press you, because I understand I don't want to talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Even to my therapist, some days I have to be like, hey, I just can't address it. It was a rough week, but I can't address it.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
can't talk about it right now. And that's...
And that's right. That's
good. And that's the giving myself permission.
Yes.
For that is what took me out of the twos.
Yeah.
Slowly then to a five, where you're like, I still feel a little bad, but today was a better day.
Yeah.
I'm kind of right in the middle. Yeah. And then you can have like, today I'm having a great day. So excited you're here. And I'm like, and now in this moment, like relating to you and stuff like that, like I'm feeling much better. Cause I'm just quite simply not thinking I'm bad and wrong.
Yeah. 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 There's nothing wrong about how you're handling this.
You know what I mean? Like the fact that I'm laughing and enjoying with you.
What you have to do is like when it gets really hard or when you're judging yourself for that feeling of like, oh my God, I'm actually a little bit happy right now. Now I feel bad for feeling happy. What you have to do is like, imagine you're talking to a friend who's like, I feel bad that I feel happy. And you would be like, that's insane. Oh my God. Stop doing that.
You'd laugh and feel happy in their face.
Yeah, what? Like every person who's lost a child is never supposed to be happy again? Like, of course that can't be. Like,
can't be.
Can't be. Have to find it. However long it takes for anyone to be able to feel joy again after losing someone is each situation is going to be totally different. But like, yeah, you would never judge someone else for finding joy after a tragedy.
Yeah.
So you can't judge yourself.
I mean, it totally sounds like even though you physically don't have the time for self-care, as you said, because the kids or whatever. Yeah. But first of all, you waking up and doing the writing, that was self-care because you set a goal for yourself. Yes. Has nothing to do with the kids, your husband, nobody, just you.
Yep.
And you did it and you fulfilled your creative mind, which is self-care to a comedian. We need to replenish at all times or you lose your identity. Well. Yeah.
I remember like trying to come up with characters like a couple years ago. Like I was, and like I even have in my notes app, like all the different characters that I had done in different shows and like trying to continue to like just generate. And I was like, I mean, it sounds so cliche, but like the well was fucking empty.
Empty.
It was dry.
That's why I won't go on TikTok.
Exactly.
I'm out.
I can't. Like, and I remember I can put myself back in like shows that I was doing, like sold out shows at UCB where I was like doing, I mean, we did shows together. And even during that time, I was like, I don't think I'm funny. I don't think this is working. I am not enjoying this. Like I was faking so much.
That's why I left, because I couldn't fake anymore.
I know.
When we were on a team together, it had nothing to do with you guys. It had nothing. Totally. Like everybody was so funny. It was the best. But it was like, I was like, I literally have like the one sketch I could do a month was pulling teeth me. Like,
I know.
And
I'm
getting help from other people. I know. Like I can't even do it myself.
I know. Oh my God. It was devastating. And I think I stayed in it so much longer than I should have, because I felt like if I don't do this, then I literally have nothing, because if I can't control the auditions I get, and if I'm not getting many auditions or whatever, I'm not getting like, then I'm literally like, I'm just walking through untethered. Like I have to be able to have something. I think UCB was that a lot for me, and I'm sure it is for a lot of people. And it's one of the things that like, I'm so grateful that I have that experience at UCB to be able to kind of identify it now, like looking at other people who are coming up through the theater. Like if you're doing it because you have nothing else, you shouldn't be doing it. Like it should be one of many things in your life. And if, and I mean, I don't know how I would say this to someone, but basically like, you know, take your pause, take your moment. And to be even more specific, like I was on MOD for 3 years. I definitely shouldn't have done a third year because I didn't care about it. And I was taking a spot from someone who really would have cared about it. And so I think there was an energy and a mentality, at least for myself, and I know I've seen other people, of like, well, I have to do it because I don't have anything else. And I think one thing I think is really amazing about what the pandemic did is it like literally stripped this thing, live performance, and specifically, certainly UCB, from everyone's lives, for many of whom it was like a very, very, very important part of their life. And they've had to like figure out how to do it without that. And so for some people that's meant like, you know what, I'm out. And like in a way, that's what I've done for a little bit. I'm like, I'm taking my pause from the career side of it, or from at least the auditioning side of it. And it's made me feel so much better and so much healthier. For some people, it's meant like moving back home and fucking going to law school, whatever that is. Great. For some people, it's meant like, okay, cool. I'm going to find a way to do the TikTok, to do whatever, like the social media side of it, blow up there.
Oh,
and then
God.
Like UCB can just be one of many things in my life, because I've found a way, like I've found my own platform. And like, any of those versions is wonderful, and it's so healthy, and it's so much healthier than that place or fill in the blank, Groundlings, Second City, like any of these like programs where you're like, well, this is the path, because I thought like that's the path, you know, and it stripped those things from people. So they realized like that's not the path, and it can't be the only thing. And now like, as we bring this back in, at least UCB specifically, bring this back and like bring people back on stage, it gets to be hopefully for people one of the many things in their life. Yes. And it's not the be all end all. You don't have to get so wrapped up in the fucking popularity contest of all of it. And like all of these places are like, they get like culty so fast and you're like, just don't, like, it doesn't mm-mm. need to be that for people. It should be a place where like you can get up on stage and perform and it's like not the be all end all.
Needs
you
to know? Be more of a pop in.
For sure. It's how pop we have in to, and pop out.
Yeah. Pop and then in, pop back out, and then pop back in. That's why I wrote you guys.
Pop in, pop out, pop
when you guys
back.
Sent the email, I was like, yeah. consider this me saying I am down to play. And then it's yeah. like you guys send an email being like, you want to do a bit on the show? And I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. you guys put together a cool show. Somebody puts together a cool show. I just get to come in.
And do a minute?
I do 1 minute. Oh, first of all, an Elena Johnson specialty. 1 minute. 1 minute? Oh my
I'm
God.
So good at 60
so
seconds.
So good.
2 minutes, we're starting to go downhill.
We're having
you gotta
a
get
time.
Me out at that minute 30.
But I found, just to speak on what we were talking about with SNL before, because I had the same thing coming from Canada, being like, this is the path,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
But it's like everything that I did because I thought it was going to get me a specific thing did not work out.
Yep. Yep.
And even like UCB, I was like, great, I'll do UCB. That's where they'll see me. Yep. I'll test for SNL and then I'll get SNL. Yep. So I got all of that
except
getting
for
SNL.
The SNL part. Yep.
And then I was like, huh, okay. Yeah. Well, that took 3 years.
Well, now
years.
My life is over.
Yeah. And you're like, okay, what's the next path? And then
where do I go?
And people
get
doing
a paycheck.
TikTok and this and that. Yeah. It's like for some people, it really works because I'm like, you had all these ideas, you needed somewhere to put them. For me, everyone being like, you got to get on TikTok. I'm like, yeah, but I don't have the ideas. And like Inessa came over a week or two ago and was like pointing out things that could be TikTok. She was like, that's a TikTok, that's a TikTok. And I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So I'm capable of it, but I'm not seeing it through the same lens as you. Yep. So it's not the time for
it's
me to do it.
It's not for me to do it.
Because I am
God bless
not
you.
Seeing
God
it.
Bless you.
Can't
if
see
you
it.
Ever, if you ever go into that world, then you will do it when it feels right. And you're like,
when
oh, actually the ideas are kind of coming. I sort of get this now.
When I can identify there's ideas
yes,
there.
Yes, yes. You can point them out for me, but if you're not here every morning
how
pointing
am I supposed
them
to
out,
know the ideas?
Yes. Am I supposed to do
I've
it?
Been hilarious since 7 a.m. and I didn't even know it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Is that what's happening here?
I know. Oh, God. Like, I just, I feel so much empathy for that version of myself. Like, I can put myself in so many different specific, like, locations where I was, like, sitting there and I was like, what do I post today? Like, what should I? And like, I have no follower. I've never had follow. Like, I didn't know how to do it. And I was like, but I was like, I need, like, how do I? And it feels so disingenuous and so like forced. And it's just like cringy. It made me like hate myself.
Yeah.
And then find like however much time it took, whatever it was, all of it, the pandemic, losing a parent, having a child. Like, I was like, oh yeah, that's not a right fit for me.
It's just
and
not.
That's totally fucking
and that's okay.
Fine.
And
it's
that's
so
okay.
Much healthier. Not doing something because you feel like you have to.
You know, it's just, I realize now after this, or we're still in a pandemic, but after the worst
yes,
of it, you
yes.
know what I mean?
Yeah,
whatever
for sure,
way to
for
say
sure,
it,
for sure.
Then I was like, and this is so stupid, but yes, life is too short. They
I
meant
know.
It when they said it. And you're like, and I'm going to spend it worrying about a 10-second TikTok. And it's like,
literally.
I admire the people that do that. But at the beginning of the pandemic, I had the same thing where I was like, I got to post videos, this, this,
for
and this.
Sure.
So I repurposed all the old stuff and kind
for
of put
sure.
it on there. And then I was like, this is not working.
There is
for
nothing
me.
Worse than repurposing something.
It
because it
feels so
especially as a comedian or improviser. And that's not to
bad.
Say you shouldn't. If you're enjoying it while you're doing it, then of course repurpose anything, bring back old kid, whatever. But if you feel like you're doing it because you have nothing else, that's where it's
exactly.
It's
so
like
it's
trying
like,
to recreate a moment in improv. Like you just can't.
No.
It could get
or
the biggest
explaining
laugh in the
it.
World.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
yep.
you like the show that you guys asked me to do for the 1 minute bit. I was running it past Anessa yesterday, and I was two of them were repurposed ones that just. Happen to be perfect for
perfect,
the theme
perfect,
of the show.
Perfect.
So I'm like debating which one to do. But I was like, oh, it just actually, like I've been doing this, but this is actually a show that I'm like, oh no, this is where
no,
it
no,
belonged
no.
the whole
Everyone
time.
Everyone should do the thing that they love the most.
That,
like
yes.
But I guess what I'm saying is like, I know the feeling of repurposing something because I didn't have
because
anything else
I felt,
and because
exactly.
I felt desperate.
And I'm shoehorning.
Yes. Yep.
That's what those videos
yep.
felt like to me was a shoehorn.
Yep.
This is different where I'm like, oh my God, this is a slap in the face. Of course do this.
Yeah.
But it's like for those videos, I was like, same as you, Mia's story, how embarrassing. But for you, same thing where I'm like, the list of everything I've ever done.
Yep.
Okay, well, what one can I do for this? And what day should I release it? And what time? And it's like, the thing that I love that I do is my music videos. I do them for no one and nothing.
Incredible.
It has nothing to do with anything. And I love them. That's why they're so good. That's why they're so good.
The joy for the fun of emanating from
you. Working with Allison Rich, and she's done two of them. And it's just like, we've had the best time.
Incredible.
We put money into it for no reason at all. We love it. We're making more of them.
Yes.
Because it's, like I said, when with you with your Dynasty show, when I started doing Self-Esteem Party, it freed me. And I was like, okay, we're going to follow this.
You can feel the difference. It's so palpable.
You can feel it.
When you are enjoying something.
Oh, my God.
Legitimately. It's like, and not because you're like, I should be enjoying this.
No. You know? I mean, I'm putting so much money into these. So it's like, it's if it's amazing. Not fun and I don't like the outcome, then for real, why am I doing
for real, this doesn't make any sense.
I'm like, no, I've paid everybody today. This is a lot of money. This is
really, really going deep. Yeah.
Okay, Christine. Yes. I hate to say it. We're nearing the end. This is a fucking nightmare.
I can't believe it, but it's been a blip in my life, and I want it to be more.
You should move in. Right out of the gate, abandon your family.
You have three bedrooms.
Abandon your family. You can move into Norm's cabin in the woods, which you thought were separate bedrooms for a second. I love when people think that because we have sort of like we have a spare bed, and I love when people think because I say it wrong. I go, "This is Norm's room. This is my room."
I actually didn't think of separate bedrooms. I thought that his office was your bedroom, and then that was truly the guest room. But either way, it's beautiful.
I've said it where this is Norm's room. I thought I said it to you that way. I've said this is Norm's room, and everyone's like,
"Have separate rooms."
And people but people don't like, you can see people not commenting on it.
I don't know what they're going through.
We just like, hey guys, if you need a separate room, take it. But like, at this point in time, I just want to clarify, we do not need separate rooms yet.
For the moment, Norm. And no shame,
I know
to
you're
who
listening.
Does need
no shame
rooms.
To anyone who does. But guess what, Norm? At some point, your snoring's gonna get out of hand. You're gonna get the boot.
Yeah, that's right.
Snoring's gonna get. You can hear the dog. She's doing it too. Everybody's getting kicked out.
I try. Well, I'll say this. So we have like a little back house, like little back house office, but like,
oh great,
it's two little separate spaces. And this past week, like, I slept out there almost every night because if I can get away from the babies for a night, like, I'm gonna
have
take
to.
It and
you
now that to. She takes the bottle, my husband has like fed her and he's been a champ. He's been a fucking
I was about
champ.
To say
and I'm
fantastic.
Not gonna lie, if you can have all of us sleeping in separate rooms, we're all gonna sleep better. So no shame to anyone who's
I do this to
separate.
Norm. Yeah, Norm and I have done this when somebody has an early morning.
Yeah.
You get a kick out.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
Gonna wake up
and
with
we
your
did
alarm
it,
when
it,
I don't need to.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. It has nothing to do with the amount of rooms in the house. It's you can do it on the couch.
Yeah.
Easy breezy. If you get your pillow from, don't use the couch pillows. Get your pillow
from
the
bed.
You'll have a better
sleep.
Sleep.
You can't use a couch
pillow. Can't use a couch pillow. And
crazy.
I feel like people do that. And I'm like, that's why you're calling it the dog house. Because you're living like an animal.
I love like you so goddamn animal.
Okay, Christine, you started this podcast off. At what you felt was a rude eight. How are you feeling now? You felt rude about it. I could tell. You didn't say it, but you did.
I started a rude eight. I am at a happy nine. All
right? You know what?
I have moved up to a...
I'm with you.
And I'm not shamed about it at all.
I'm at an entitled nine.
I have earned and owned that fucking nine right now.
Honestly, my score is based on how many things we've said simultaneously.
And there's been a handful, and they've been really good.
They've been good, and the people are begging
for it.
Okay, Christine, tell us the dates of UCB opening and everything like that so that everybody can
come
out the show.
Come see your character.
Come see my one-minute character.
Your one-minute character. UCB reopens on September 30th. That's a Friday. And the October 1st, Saturday, those 2 days are sort of our grand opening. We're calling it UCB Homecoming because we're all coming back. We're coming back to school with our favorite buddies. We had a long, shitty summer vacation, and we're ready to have our friends back in our lives. So we're doing UCB Homecoming. It's 2 nights, 3 shows each night. It's like, I cannot even describe to you the number of funny people that are going to be at that theater
night.
I'm so
excited.
Like, it's just, and then I just hope the whole block is just filled with funny people. Like every restaurant just packed to the brim, people spilling out onto the street. I hope everyone is angry at us. I hope the neighbors are angry because of how many people are on that street that night. It's going to be really fun. So that's the opening. And then, we're doing weekend shows for the first 2 weeks, and then we'll start into weeknight shows. And then kind of gradually into like November, build up to that full schedule, which is like 3 to 4 shows a night, 7 nights a week.
For people that come to the show, to the opening weekend, I'm going to be throwing an after party at the Gelson's Produce.
Hell so, yeah. Check it out. How long is Gelson's open? Those neon lights be popping.
They are popping off. You better believe it's going to be a good party. It's going to be at the produce section good. Of the Gelson's.
Yeah. Mama's going to be out that night.
Oh, yeah. Mama's with the be kids. Really out. And we're going to have to talk about that. And Christine, yeah. actually, I think and a lot of people aren't going to be okay with that.
That's not okay. Yeah. Your kids can't be drinking that.
And and also because you keep putting your kids in the show, you're taking spots from performers.
Come on, we know you have two daughters. They don't get it. It's not a pass. We're not doing that.
You think they're
anymore.
Cute. We hate them.
We hate them. They're not cute. You are the only person who thinks
they're
cute.
You're the only one. And I'm sorry I had to drag you out on the podcast to tell you that.
To tell you that your kids are ugly. And that's where we end.
Christine, what a treat. Stick around for a soda water.
Oh, hey, yo.
Believe in yourself, believe in your body.